One of the things that is slightly strange, I was aware of as I was preparing for this morning, is that in our evening services, we're working through the book of Ephesians, which is an amazing, amazing book. And this evening we look at Ephesians chapter 4, and here we are looking at Ephesians chapter 6. So in my thinking, this is out of order, but hey, that's all right. But what I also realise is how much there is a relationship between what we'll be thinking about this morning and what we'll be thinking about this evening. So if you want to explore some of this a bit more in depth, then, or from a slightly different perspective, then 6:15 this evening, it would be great to see you. So what's going on? Finally, says Paul. There's a number of times in Paul's letters he says finally, and you might be forgiven for thinking he wasn't very final. But at this, on this occasion, it's pretty much, you know, it's halfway through the last chapter in the book. So Paul is justified in using this word finally. He's coming to the end of the letter after exploring some amazing things. He's been thinking about the greatness of God. He's been thinking about what God has done for them, the believers that he was writing to, what God has done for them in Christ, and how, as a consequence of that, they are expected to live. And with all those things in his mind, and he hopes in their mind, he wants to leave them with one last thing to think about. And that is this: even though God is great, even though Jesus has done wonderful things for them, even though the Holy Spirit is in them, life is not always going to be easy. They are going to come under attack. They are going to feel threatened. They are going to experience real pressure. And Paul wants them to be prepared for that. He wants them to know that the enemy they are up against is not the people around them. It's not the people who might not like them, but someone he refers to as the devil. This is a being who stands opposed to everything that God stands for. A being who has great forces at his disposal. A being who failed to defeat Jesus and is now trying to defeat the church of Jesus. A being who will ultimately be totally defeated and destroyed, but now has freedom to act against the people of God. That's who Paul wants us to recognise is the one who is against us. But Paul does not want the church to be frightened. He sees no need for that at all. He does want the church to be ready. And this is less an encouragement for each individual, though it is important for each of us, but it's for the entire church, acting together to oppose the forces that are arrayed against us. It's the difference between a prime minister standing up and speaking to an army and saying, I want you to go and do something, or speaking to an individual soldier. It's the difference between me speaking to the church as a whole, as I'm doing now, and coming alongside an individual church member to encourage and support them. Both are important. But Paul's focus here is on the whole church, united together in Christ, ready for the battles ahead. So he calls on them as a body to be strong. Finally, be strong. And the idea here is of becoming strong. It's an ongoing process where we continually look to God for his power and strength. And as we were singing earlier, for Jesus to continue to change us and to transform us, to make us more like him. And this is something Paul wants us to really understand. We are not expected to be strong in our own strength, but in the strength and the power of God. And this takes us back to Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul speaks about the believers knowing the incomparably great power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It is this power, this amazing, inexhaustible, unstoppable power that we need to be strong in. And we gain this strength, Paul says. We gain this strength to resist by putting on the full armour of God, which he outlines in detail in verse 14 to 17. And we were thinking about that earlier. And this tells us two things. We are not expected to do this on our own. We aren't strong enough, we aren't clever enough, we aren't powerful enough. But God has equipped us with all we need for the battle we are called to fight. There was a man who was diagnosed with a fairly serious disease. His doctor didn't know what to do. His doctor sent him to a consultant. The consultant happened to have just come across this new medicine that was specifically designed to deal with this particular problem. And so he prescribed the medication, and the man went home. And every week, the man took the prescription to the pharmacy, and he got the medicine and came home. And every week, he got worse and worse, and sicker and sicker. And the doctor couldn't understand, and the consultant didn't understand, until eventually, someone visited the house and found all the boxes of tablets neatly arrayed in one of the kitchen cupboards. He had not taken it. He'd got it, but he hadn't made use of it. He had everything he needed, but refusing to take advantage of it. And maybe, if we are finding ourselves unable to withstand difficulties and challenges that come against us, it is important to ask whether we are taking advantage of what God has given us, the armour he provides. And the reason we are called to put on the armour of God seems to be not so that we can go into great battles and achieve great things, but so that we can stand. We get this in verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14. And we're called to stand in a number of ways. We're called to stand against the devil's schemes. We're called to stand when the day of evil comes. We're called to stand our ground. We're called to stand after we've done everything else. We're called to stand firm. These first two things about the devil's schemes and the day of evil are important. You know, sometimes people speak about paranoia as thinking that someone is out to get you. What Paul is saying here is that that is precisely what the devil is about. He is plotting, he is scheming to find a way to bring down God's people, to stop them being effective in what God has called them to do, to make them become irrelevant to the people around. And this is not the first time Paul has been thinking about this. If we go back into Ephesians 4 and verse 27, he warns the believers to not let the devil get a foothold, to not let him find a way in. And the reference to the day of evil reminds us that we live in a dark and difficult world. A world that was opposed to Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, and so is opposed to us. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that that would happen. The world has hated me, it will hate you. There will be times when we find the pressures and challenges that come from this particularly difficult. But the encouraging thing I find here is that Paul saying, yeah, you should expect these things. Why on earth is that encouraging? Because they are not an indication that we are doing something wrong. But they are the natural or maybe supernatural consequences of seeking to live as God's people. So let's not be surprised when we, as a body of God's people, or the church in this country, come under pressure and attack. Let's expect it. Let's prepare for it by taking advantage of all that God has provided for us and becoming strong in his power. We put on the armour so we can stand and so we can carry on standing. And this is not the only time when God's people are just called to stand. Those of you familiar with the story will know that there was a time when God had rescued his people from Egypt, where they'd been in captivity for 400 years. They had just been released, they had left Egypt, and they were out in the desert with their first taste of freedom for centuries. But they suddenly found that all was not good. The Egyptian army had suddenly started to chase them. Pharaoh, the king in Egypt, had realized that actually he wanted them back. So he and his army pursued them. They were terrified. And they cried out to God and complained to Moses about the situation he got them into. And Moses' answer was full of faith in the God who had rescued them. He said, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." So what does God do? God puts a barrier between the two groups so the Egyptians can't get to them. God makes a path through the sea that was in front of them so they could walk through it on dry ground. And when the Egyptian army tried to come after them, the sea came together and they were drowned. All the people had to do was to trust in God and for him to do his work. At the end of time, we read of preparation for a great battle between Jesus with the army of heaven behind him and all the powers of evil arrayed against him. And these two armies come together. We read about this in Revelation chapter 19. "Then I saw the beast, the representation of evil, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army." And the rider on the horse here is Jesus. We can easily imagine that the story would go on to tell of a great battle, with one side having an advantage and then the other, until eventually there was a conclusion. The sort of things we see in epic films depicting warfare. But the reality is totally different. The beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who performed the signs on its behalf. There was no need for the army following Jesus to fight. The leaders of the opposing forces, and if we read on, the entire army was defeated by Jesus, the rider on the horse. The army was there, but the battle and the victory was his. There is no doubt about the outcome. No doubt as to where the power lies. And so, like the Israelites long ago, like the story in Revelation, in the future, we are called to stand in the power of God's strength, the power of Jesus, and to continue standing. And yes, there are other times in the Bible where God's people are called to fight, where we are to go on the offensive, and we need to be prepared for that. But this insight from Paul reminds us that sometimes all we are called to be, all that is expected of us, is that we continue to stand as faithful followers of Jesus in the strength and power that he provides. And as we saw earlier, the equipment God provides is spiritual, and it is wonderful. The absolute truth that only comes from God and that we find demonstrated in the life of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, something we can be totally confident in, someone we can trust in. The world today tells us there is no such thing as truth. Jesus says, "I am the truth." Jesus says, "I will send my Spirit and he will guide you into all truth." This is something that we can rest on. The righteousness that we receive due to believing in Jesus, for God to look at us and say, "Yes, you are okay. You can come into my presence. You are welcome as a member of my family because of what my son has done." Being able to rely completely and totally on the good news about Jesus and to go and share this with others. This is our defense against attack, as we share with others the greatness and the goodness of Jesus. The faith that God provides, the confidence we have in Jesus that can put out, that can deal with the doubts and the fears that the devil tries to get us to have. The confidence of our salvation, knowing that we are safe and secure in God. Jesus says to me, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and those who come to me I will not cast out." We can be safe. We can know that we are secure in God. And the word that God has given us, the presence of his Spirit, that gives us all we need to know God, to know what God is calling us to do, and to live in the power of God. These are gifts that are available to all those who have committed themselves to Jesus. They are free. There is no price. But they carry a cost. As we live and stand for Jesus, we will come under attack. But this is the life we are called to live. This is the life of following Jesus that I believe is the only one that is worth living. As we stand in who God is, as we stand in what he provides, and have that privilege of being part of what he is doing. And as well as armour, Paul talks about prayer. As well as standing, we're called to pray. If we don't pray, if we don't have that real living relationship with God, we won't be able to stand. I was reading some reflections on some simple words that Paul says in another letter. He says, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. It's as though prayer should be as real, as continuous within us as is the breath that we breathe. It should be part of all that we are, all of the time. It's part of our relationship with God. And as we do that, we will be able to stand. And Paul talks about the sort of praying he is expecting us to pray in the Spirit, guided by and inspired by the Spirit that the Father has poured into our lives and through whom we have access to God. To pray on all occasions. As I say, it's a regular, it's a continual feature of life because of the relationship we have with God. To pray all kinds of prayers and requests. Let's not censor our prayers. Let's be real in what we're saying to God. Let's be ready to come to him and to ask him for what we need, particularly so that we'll be able to continue to stand. To be aware of what is going on around us and to continue to pray for our fellow believers, recognising that they are in the same battle we are. We're part of the same army. Sometimes we see one or another of us doing something that is wrong, that is not consistent with God's call on our lives. A question. What is your inclination at that point? Is it to go and confront them? Or is it to pray for them? That God will reveal his truth to them. Paul calls us to pray for those who are particularly focused on sharing the good news of Jesus with others. It involves recognizing and being aware of those who have this ministry and continuing to pray for them. Which takes me on to another question. How many of us spend time praying for those who lead the different groups in our church, where we engage with those who don't yet know Jesus? Praying for the work of CAP, praying for those who knock on doors, praying for our link missionaries, praying for those who we know are seeking to share the news of Jesus in their daily lives. Do we support each other as we pray for those who seek to make known the mystery of the gospel? That they may declare it fearlessly as they should. So the context is clear. We will come under attack, but we can be confident of the victory if we take advantage of what God has provided for us. We are called to equip ourselves in his power, to stand firm and to pray. Very simple things to say, but often very challenging to do. And I think there are a number of reasons why we sometimes don't do that as we should. You may have other reasons. We may not be aware of the battle, or that there are these forces arrayed against us. We do not have that sense of the supernatural that is going on around us that affects what goes on in this world. Our eyes are very much focused on what we see around us, the physical, the material. And we don't have that attunement into what is going on. And so we don't recognise that. And so when those things come against us, we find it strange, we find it difficult to understand. But let's be aware that this battle is real. Sometimes, actually, it all just passes us by. We're more interested in our own lives and the things that are important to us than the things of God and his kingdom. So we become ineffective. And we become of no interest to these spiritual forces that oppose us, because we're not doing anything of value for God anyway. So why should he bother? Sometimes that can cause us to not engage. Sometimes we want to try and do things in our own strength, or that we don't trust that what God has given us is enough. Yes, I'll take this armour, but I need to add a bit to it. Sometimes we find prayer difficult and challenging, and it's easier not to try. Paul's challenge to the believers that he wrote to in the first century was to say, take what God has given you, equip yourself so that you can stand, and pray. Are we, as a body of God's people, prepared to take on Paul's challenge in a deeper and more powerful way, so that we will gain a deeper relationship with God, be better able to live as he calls us to withstand the forces and the challenges that will come against us, and to be more effective in sharing the wonderful news of Jesus with others? Let's pray.